News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
With me is Senior Counsel and former Government Minister Alex White to look at some of the stories that you may not yet have heard and to give us analysis on some of those that you have. And one of the ones that you may have heard is the one that Jo Linen was talking about a little while ago, which was a 10% fall in the job hiring for professionals. White collar jobs down 10% year on year. Is this AI, do you think, starting to have its effect?
It seems to be. Excuse my voice, a bit dicky this morning. You hear from some of the various organisations that would be employing AI or proposing to deploy it, that seems to be a big development for them, and that'll have a knock-on effect on employment, particularly the professional area. It's just too soon to tell what the impact of AI is going to be on employment. I mean, you have to think that it will have an impact across the board. Professionals, they say coders, you know, people who are kind of entrenched in the system, it may well affect there. But anything you read, there's very little you read that's conclusive, you know, other than, look, this is bound to affect us. But the question is, and the hope is, I suppose, that it'll be, rather than jobs being lost, they'll be displaced and people will still be employed somewhere else.
It's an optimistic view because, I mean, take your own area of expertise in the law. If you look at professions like that, a lot of the kind of work like analysis of case precedent, like the writing of reports, like the drafting of letters, all of those things that used to take an apprentice and a lot of time are now almost instantaneous.
Well, I see one of the things on the list where wage increases now, because another part of the story is wage increases were largely flat, but the premiums are limited to scarce skills. And one of the scarce skills is employment law, which is reassuring for somebody like me or somebody in my field. But I think that still in the legal profession, there'll be a real need for advice, for counselling, for, you look, what do you want out of this case? What are you trying to achieve? It's not purely a mathematical sort of technical thing. Oh, you know, how have these cases gone in the past? So I think there will be skills that will be deployed.
But that's at a higher level. You have to make it through it goes to, you know, the base of the pyramid shrinking, which means fewer and fewer make it through to that higher level.
There's no doubt. But I mean, we've always wanted to have, you know, ways of researching legal precedent, ways of sort of identifying cases that are similar, ways of pulling together strands of different issues and problems. So this will help. I'm not completely convinced that it's going to, you know, sort of wipe out the legal profession or indeed wipe out any of these professions. But the other part of this story is wages. Wages are flat. Prices aren't. I know you had Owen Reedy in earlier. That's a real issue. And I'm sure it'll feed into the discussions on public service pay.
The other area, I mentioned you with your expertise in the law. The other area you have some expertise in being politics. And an interesting one, the Taoiseach has been drawn into commentary in respect of the US ambassador's visit to Conor McGregor's pub, the Black Forge. Now, what the Taoiseach has effectively said is he's not going to tell the ambassador what he should and shouldn't do. Should he be telling the ambassador what he should and shouldn't do?
He kind of can't. He's a sitting Taoiseach. This is the kind of thing that a former Taoiseach, or dare I say it, a former minister, might say, but a current one can't. I don't know if you've met Edward Walsh, a man of very robust views and not shy to express them. I mean, this is playing into a broader issue in the US. You know, we saw the White House, the visit of McGregor to the White House. I mean, there's an element of looking for a reaction here as well. I think particularly, you know, with the US audience, it seems to me. I'm not sure if Leo, who I know well, not sure if such a great thing to step into it because it's giving it oxygen. But all the norms are gone. I mean, when did you ever see an ambassador doing, you know, being associated with somebody like McGregor? Let's just put it straight like that, as Simon Harris described him as a vile individual. You know, ambassadors and ministers from other countries and so on, officials, tend to stay away from something that's controversial. But here they don't, because the norms are gone out the window.
Is the Taoiseach not within his rights to state the facts and let people draw inferences? Can the Taoiseach not say that he was, for example, surprised to see the US ambassador spending time in a venue owned by somebody found civilly liable for the rape of Nikita Ant? Like, that is something he could simply say as fact without criticising the ambassador.
It's true that words are simple and they can be said quickly, but the Taoiseach also has to deal with the US, you know, so I do have some sympathy. He has to deal with all of the negotiations, all of the tensions around tariffs, all of. So I have to say that while I think Leo was right and I agree with him, and the Rape Crisis Centre, I think, speaks for all of us, I would have thought, the Taoiseach just has to remain a bit aloof from it. Unfortunately, that's just one of the, you know, that's one of the trade-offs. You've got to do
it. When you read into it, do you think it is pandering to the US audience? Because it is easy to underestimate just how significant McGregor is to the US audience. Is it pandering to the US audience, or is it goading the ostensibly woke liberal Ireland in which the US ambassador finds himself?
It's a fair question, but I don't think that reasonable people will think that the Taoiseach is associating himself with this by failing to condemn it. You know, I think that he's not. He's doing his job, which is a particular job.
Now, while we're talking about the Taoiseach, there is one other political story that I wanted your view on, which is that Mary Lou MacDonald has insisted that she is not going to withdraw comments that she made about Micheál Martin. Now, she didn't make them directly to him, but she made them in the Dáil in a way that was audible by others. And what she described him as was a tosser.
I wasn't sure if we were going to use the word, and I was going to say to describe it as something that you would do with a coin. But yes, she did.
There's that diplomacy you're famous under, for, Alex.
She did, under her breath. I think there's a bigger, probably, story here. The nature and level and type of the exchanges in the Dáil at the moment are, as the piece, the Pat Leahy says, sour and personalised very often, bad-tempered exchanges. That's what, and that would seem to be the case. So the question is about the Metrolink project. How much is it going to cost? Reasonable question. Is it capable of being answered? Right, is it, in this day and age? Taoiseach said, not clear yet. She says, that's my point. He's saying, well, you know, he's changing the subject, I suppose, or trying to have the debate. And she calls him this name. He's focused on building the metro, he said, rather than trying to speculate how much it's going to cost. So the public want to know how much it's going to cost. The public want to know the cost of these big projects. But it's an unascertainable this far out, it seems to me. You can give estimates, you give possibilities, but you can't be certain. So I think that Mary Lou MacDonald feels under, but she's one of the greatest, she's one of the best performers of the modern period in the Dáil. She's done really well. And opposition politicians tend to do best if they come into the Dáil with information that they're putting to
now,
the Taoiseach.
Now, is there also desire? Yeah. Is there a desire among people to see that kind of acrimony? Because is there a sense that sometimes there is a performative cosiness between opposition and government? And the fact that Mary Lou evidently dislikes Micheál Martin might be seen as a positive.
I wonder, though. I think that we've seen quite a few years of this kind of exchange in the Dáil, not just from Mary Lou and Sinn Féin, from other parties as well. We've seen it. It does get a bit tiresome. Look at all the problems that we have. I don't want to get all po-faced about it. I know people like a bit of crack and a bit of back and forward, but surely there's room in the Dáil, the Parliament of the People, to, you know, serious scrutiny of policy. There's so many things facing us, the world globally, you know, for the country, on again, tariffs off again. You know, this kind of thing doesn't really take us very far. Name calling is not really opposition.
Still falls a long way short of Deputy Gogarty and Deputy Stagg. That, I think, may still be our high point. Finally, before we wrap up, the casting director who has casted, I think, 14 of the last Bond films, Debbie McWilliams, has stepped into the debate about not who should be the next Bond, but what type of person should be the next Bond. And she said, white and male.
Should stay a white man. It was written that way. She says the original character was written as a man, and that's the way it should stay. She says, she goes on, interestingly, she quoted in the story as saying, like, whoever is the Bond character, you know, he has a license to kill. It's got to be somebody with a menace about them. We're sort of touching on toxic masculinity a few minutes ago in another context. You know, my sense is, look, it's reinventing a character is one thing. If it, you know, I think that there is historically an absence of strong female characters in movies. It seems to me the way to do that is to invent characters, invent new characters, put them out there. Trying to sort of shoehorn, reinvent an old one, I'm not sure if that's the way. So I think I have sympathy for her.
Alex, thank you very much. That is Alex White, Chair of the Climate Change Advisory Council, former Minister and Senior Counsel. 53106, if you want to get in touch, or 087 1400 106.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.